want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Going to turn to Matthew 22. Just read a couple verses here to open it up. Matthew 22, and we're going to jump in at, verse 36. It says, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." This morning I'm going to be sharing on something that is under severe attack in our day. It has been under attack ever since the beginning of time. And I believe that the enemy knows that if he can get us to fail in this area, he can get a handle on us. This morning's title is Brotherly Love. I was thinking on this title for a little while here, of sharing on, and interesting thing was the last two Sundays between the sermons and devotions, there was different subjects on love. And I decided I'm going to still share it. It was, Dwayne's message was on love and between a husband and wife, and figured this is something a little different, and I figured I would still bring it. So I was thinking of the thought of the brotherly love, and the last song that you led there, Brian, is "Does Jesus Care?" And I got thinking on that a little bit. It's like, you know, I think Jesus cares, and that's why he gave the brotherhood to help us walk through the hard things in our life. If we don't have each one of us here walking together, it won't get us through those hard things that come our way. I do want to say that right from the start that I'm not sharing this message because I see something that's lacking here. It is... It's been a blessing to see everyone here pulling together and walking together as a brotherhood. Y'all have been digging in when there's times that I know you had other things that you should have been doing. But I feel everyone has been making choices to work on things that have eternal effects. I did a little online research just to see what comes up on this subject as far as secular views. And it's almost shocking on how little comes up about brotherly love and brotherhood sharing. You search different titles and there's a lot of different things that come up, a lot of different messages, from your main street churches, but very little compared to other searches come up. There's a lot Churches of society are falling apart at alarming rates for multiple reasons. But one of those main reasons is that they lost the principle of brotherly love. First point this morning is, what is brotherly love? The secular view of brotherly love is a general view that they view it as a calling just to love those around them. General society views brotherly love as a thing that you show towards others only if it doesn't conflict with your own desires. It is something that you show to others as long as it doesn't cost you your time and money. The term is viewed as a good moral to live by and not a biblical command. If you look at different religions around the world, a lot of them have some type, would you say, brotherly love, taking care of those around you, and it starts to become just a moral and not a command. So what is the Bible's view on brotherly love? Let's turn to John 13. I'm going to read two verses from there. I'm going to read verse 34 and 35 in John 13. Jesus is speaking here. And it says, Verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I love you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." In verse 34, it says, "I give you a new commandment." This is not a new commit. It is not a new commandment to love one another. But it's new to the fact that Jesus said that we must love others as He has loved. Thought about that part for a while, and it says, "As I love you." As you think about that, and you think over the many times that Jesus in the Bible here has showed love to others, and you wonder, how ever can we show love as Jesus showed love? First John 4:19 says, We love Him because He first loved us. God loved us before we knew anything about love. He loved us before we loved Him. God did not stand there and say to us, "I would really like to show you some love, but I would really like you to show me some love and good faith before I show you love." But no, He loved us first. Even when we were so unlovely, and the love of our Heavenly Father is what drew us in. What strings do I attach, and what strings do you attach in order for you to show love to others? Do we make others prove that they are sincere in the friendship before we are willing to put our love out there and put our friendship out there? Do we wait till other people open up to us before we open up and be vulnerable to others? Do we not put ourselves out there in fear of getting hurt? If Jesus would have not loved us first, his walk on this earth would have not had the impact that it did. Matthew 14, I'm going to read two verses there, 14 and 16. Just jump in 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved in compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and time is now past, and send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." The setting here is Jesus just got done spending a long day of healing and teaching. And it was also this day is when he received the news of the passing of John the Baptist. He still had compassion. His disciples told him, "Just send them away." You know, Jesus could have said, "You know, I need some alone time. I need a passing of a friend just died." But he saw the needs around him. We need to know our limits. We need to take care of our families. But how many times do I make decisions based on what I want and not what Christ calls us to do? How many times do I say no just because I need some me time? You may have just gotten home from a stressful day at work. And soon after you got home, you received a phone call. And you see who's calling. And you know it's not going to be a short conversation. It may be a needy individual that is needing some advice or encouragement. Will I pick up that call? Or do I say, "This is just not a good time. I do not feel like dealing with that stress yet." What would Jesus do? We've been studying Joseph in Sunday school, and my mind was drawn, and studying this was drawn to that story. And Joseph had come along, and his brothers wanted to kill him, but they put him in a pit. And they sat down to eat. They didn't want to deal with seeing him or dealing with relating to him. And they just wanted him to be put away. How many times am I guilty of putting someone in a pit because I don't want to relate to them? How many times do I there's something I really should be doing, but I put it in a pit and hopefully somehow it takes care of itself. It can be very too easy to do that. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we are not to only love our brothers, but we are also called to bear each other's burdens. And you could say, what are these burdens? And it could be a lot of different things. It could be emotional burdens, physical burdens, monetary burdens. Every single one of us has some burdens we deal with every day. But there's at times that they get too heavy to carry on our own. And that's when we as brothers have to step up and help that brother carry his load. In Exodus, where Moses was holding up his arms as the battle was raging, and as long as he kept his hands up, the army was winning. And every time he dropped his arms, they were losing. So they took a stone and put it under him so he could sit. And there was two brothers that stood there and held his arms up. We see that they were there working together to bearing the struggle that Moses had. Unless we pull together as a brotherhood and bear each one up, we will lose out as a brotherhood and a church, just as they were losing out in the army. Back in John 13, the verse 35 was, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. We look at the Jesus' ministry, and as he showed love to those around him, it only drew in people. The same goes today. We are allowing people to see the love of Christ flow out and through us. Are we showing that love to others? As we show that love of Christ to the others around us, people know that we are sincere in what we believe. It is not natural to be bearing each other's burdens. So people know, are you serious about what you stand for? I came across this quote and I thought it was very fitting. Brotherly love is a love that goes beyond the mere duty in Leviticus 19:18 to love thy neighbor as thyself, and shows itself a genuine love with a pure heart that extends an unconditional hand of friendship that loves when not loved back, that gives without giving back, ever looks for the best in others. If we're not looking for the best in others, we only see the bad And it becomes a breakdown in the relationship within our church. A brotherly love is unconditional. There's no strings attached. We have to give even if we're not getting given back. Second point is, what are some of the threats of brotherly love? I thought about this and I'm like, what is the biggest threat to this? And I came up with one thing here that I feel, at least for myself, is a very big threat. I am my own biggest threat. I'm my own biggest threat because my humanity is telling me that my problems are more important than what yours are. I'm telling myself that my time is worth more than what Brian and Furl's time is. I tell myself I'm busy, and someone else could step up that's less busy than what I'm in. But the fact is, everyone has things going. Myself is telling me that you have no idea what is going on, so therefore you don't know what I need, and I don't want your help because I don't think you understand. Are we allowing ourselves to get in the way of helping or to being helped? In order for a brotherhood to work, we must be willing to be give and also to be on the receiving end. There are people that have become bitter and left the church because they felt that they were not accepted, when in fact they were not the ones that were actually being vulnerable and opening, allowing others to look into their lives. They put up walls that they could not be reached. Are we letting ourselves be reached by a brother around us? Second biggest threat to brotherly love, and the trust in our brotherhood, I'm going to say, is insurances. And this can be a little bit of a controversial subject at times. And insurances can be good, and they can be bad. There are times that we're forced into examples like, you know, we've been blessed here in Pennsylvania to have our self-insurance program for our vehicles. But other states are forced into having it. But then other states are actually do not require some of the insurances that businesses have to have locally. I feel that insurance is a killer to the teaching of bearing one another's burdens. The world is offering more and more security so that there is no option for us to ever have a loss. We see this with the Social Security system, the health insurance, liability insurance. You can get crop insurance, life insurance, insurance for your animals, fire insurance. The list goes on and on. You can pretty much insure anything that you'll never have a loss. The more insurances that we bring into our life, the less there is for the need for the brotherhood to bear each other's burdens. And the less we need God, the dependence on God. If we can go and pretty much guarantee that I would never have a loss, and we have everything planned out, self starts saying that, you know, I got this under control. We start to plan, and we become less dependent upon God. And I'm not saying that all insurance is bad, and don't take me wrong on that. The more that it comes in, it just creates less dependence. I put it out as a question, but do we carry insurance that we do because we're being forced into it, or because we're allowing the world to tell us that we are foolish by not having it? But do we want to say that the world also believes that it's foolish that we put our trust in God? The world does not understand the trust and faith that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they say you need to take control of your life. My mind, with thinking about the insurances and stuff and the securities of that all, it can be very secure to have that. You think of lawsuits, and so you want more insurance and more umbrella insurance to catch every possible thing that could possibly come your way. And my mind was drawn to the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. It was all great. They seen the God working in getting them out of Egypt. And as they got out of Egypt, they were heading towards the Red Sea, and they see the armies coming behind them. They done forgot at that moment what God had just done for them. They suddenly wanted the securities, even though it cost them a great deal. They wanted to be back in Egypt. Safe. They wanted the security and they lost sight of God. Do we let go of trust and faith in God out of fear of what could happen to us? Brotherhood is not one-sided. There will be seasons that you will be on the receiving side, and seasons that you're on the giving side. And if you feel that you're always on the giving side, apparently you have not given enough. Sometimes you're there giving time, and it's very easy. It's like, you know, that thought comes across your mind. It's like, I wish some other people would just start picking up the pieces. But what you don't know is all the pieces that they were picking up that you did not realize. My third point, I don't have a lot on this point here, but is how do we pass the brotherly love onto the next generation? And on this point here, I feel that I don't have a lot of wisdom, and it'd be interesting to hear how others feel on how we pass the vision on to the younger generation. One very important way of passing it on is we need to be a living example. They say that more is caught than taught. Trusting in God and applying brotherly love in our lives does not make sense on paper. We need to show the younger generation the blessings that you receive by living a life of service to God and to your brothers around you. While more is caught than taught, we must also teach the principles of love and trust in God to those that are coming on. Someday they will be the ones leading the church. And will the church brotherhood fall apart through the cracks because we did not pass on the vision? Just like the churches of today, I feel there's less and less taught on a life of service. And if we're not living a life of service, we're filling it with a life that's for me. And when we live a life that's for me, we lose sight of God and what life is really about. In closing, I'm going to just read a few verses here from 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but countrywise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let's kneel for prayer.